You are listening to Awaken Ananda, produced by the Lighter Side Network. Visit the Lighter Side Network at thelightersidenetwork.com for hundreds of free video episodes and podcasts that explore wholeness living, energy work, communicating with spirit, and more. The Lighter Side Network, where the everyday meets the extraordinary.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Awaken Ananda podcast. I'm your host, Priya Lockhi, and I'm really excited to be speaking with all of you today. And I'm even more excited to be speaking with our guest, who is a friend and a client, Aaron Koop, Vice President of CBRE, which is a commercial real estate brokerage firm in Chicago. And she's also a writer and a speaker. Welcome to our show, Aaron.
Thank you. So happy to be here, Priya.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today about your journey of self-awareness and how you've stepped into your power and your awakening, and also how you've brought that into the workplace and into your life. I am looking forward for what I know is going to be a deep dive into all things spiritual and all things awakening.
Awesome. Me too.
So Aaron, before we dive in, tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So, I guess, you know, an interesting point that I'd like to make is that throughout the last year of my own personal transformation and spiritual awakening, I no longer describe myself by what my job is. I mean, that is certainly a part of me. But a big change in my life has been to describe who I am as an authentic person. So the way I describe myself, here it goes. I am a loving, kind, and compassionate woman who also happens to be the mother of two young boys. I live in Northfield, Illinois, and I do work in Chicago. And I have discovered that my life's purpose is literally to inspire and uplift people. And I am doing that in a way where I'm sharing my authentic voice with the world and with the workforce. And as a income earner, my role is as a vice president at CBRE. I represent companies that occupy office space mainly in the Chicago area, but some of my clients do take me around the United States. So what that means is I represent their need for real estate, and that is the space where their employees then work. So I do a lot of lease negotiation and strategy and execution with executive teams at companies of all shapes and sizes and industries. That's me in a nutshell, Priya.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing it in that way. Mm-hmm. I know that if I had asked you this question a year ago, or maybe mm-hmm. a year and a half ago, Aaron, tell me about yourself. I know that you probably would have led with your credentials.
Yes.
And right?
1000%. Yes.
And so I'm curious, what has changed for you in the last year? And just for the listeners, Aaron and I actually met in Bali at a retreat that Aaron was attending, and I was a co-facilitator, called Simply Be Magic Retreats. And I know that when Aaron, you walked through the door of the beautiful villa, right? Let's just pause. And the villa was stunning mm-hmm. in Bali. I know that you walked in and you thought you were there for a business mastermind with some spirituality. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. Yep.
And what happened during that week, and how has that week led you to where you are today?
Oh, so much happened during that week, Priya, and you were a huge part of it. So I think one of the biggest transformations for me during that week was realizing how open I truly was to learning and to growing, and how much that retreat happened at just the most opportune and perfect time that it possibly could have happened in my life. I recall a moment, shortly before I found out that I would have the opportunity to go on that retreat, where I said to my husband one night, if this is all that life is, I'm not so sure that I'm up for this. And what I meant by that is nothing against him or the life we're living together, but just how monotonous life had gotten to feel and how powerless I was feeling in my life. And what I learned in a few short days on that trip, and largely through the time that you and I spent together, was that there actually is so much more to this life, and there is true meaning behind it, and that there is purpose behind it for each and every human on this earth. And there is room for all of us. So the things that I feel like I ended up sort of discovering, or the clarity that started to really be uncovered, not only, you know, just in the short time I spent in Bali and with you, but then in our work afterwards, and then in all of my own self-work and, you know, and spiritual practice that I took on, you know, beyond then, it was profound what I was learning about what else is out there, you know, what else this life means.
How did a week at a retreat in Bali start such a life transformation for you? Because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like the day before you came to Bali, you weren't sure life was fulfilling in any way, shape, or form. And then 7 days later, you were on what you term a self-discovery journey that you had never been on before. So what do you think shifted inside of you to allow you to be on a whole new way of discovering what life is all about?
I really feel like, I mean, as strange as this may sound, but I almost feel like I got like some sort of like slingshotted into what this journey was going to be for me. And I now know, of course, that I was being led to this throughout my entire life, and that many experiences led up to that point. But I literally got to a moment or a shift where it was undeniable that the things that I was learning about and the feelings that I was feeling in my own, you know, energetic body, and the meditations that I was having and the experiences that were occurring in my meditations, which were different than anything I'd ever experienced before, it was all so real, and it was more real than almost any experience I'd ever had. So that is what allowed me to really go deeper into the journey and to really continue that learning and continue down that path. And I'll tell you a little short story about sort of where I was prior to going to that, you know, beyond that brief conversation over a glass of wine with my husband before the trip. I was definitely in a mindset that was, you know, I'll be honest, fairly egocentric, right? And as much as I may not have thought that I really led my life through the mind or through the ego, it was something I had really been doing for some time without necessarily, you know, having the awareness of that. And so I ended up fainting on the airplane on the way over to Bali. I fainted 2 times in a series of 5 minutes. And in my head, there was a voice going through my head saying, "See, I told you, you should have never taken this trip. You should have never gotten on this airplane. How dare you leave your family? How dare you leave your job and go to the other side of the planet for a week for yourself?" And then in my heart, I had, "Don't listen to that. You deserve this time for yourself. Do not feel guilty about taking this time." And I literally had like that angel and that devil, or that good and that bad, or that negative and that positive, like battling it out between my mind and my heart. And that was something that set the tone for what I was walking into on that trip. It literally set the tone for openness and a yearning for growth and a yearning to learn. And that's what I did on that trip.
Oh, I had no idea that you had fainted on the plane. And I also had no idea that you felt so conflicted about taking this time for yourself. Is this is this the first time where you had decided that, yes, I'm going to take 5-7 days and do something just for me?
Absolutely. It was literally the hardest decision I had to make to that date, to actually take that time for me. It took so much out of me to make that decision. And when I found out that I had the opportunity for the trip, I was on the phone with a friend of mine. We had applied together to go, and we were jumping up and down, you know, her in her bedroom, me in my bedroom, we're on the phone, and my husband happened to walk into my bedroom where I was, and he was running after one of my kids, and my entire chandelier, which is like 20 bulbs that's above my bed, the entire thing flickered for 10 seconds. That's the only time that happened to that date, and the only time, literally, it hasn't happened since. And it, to me, that was a sign. That was a sign that this is being delivered to me from somewhere else, and I need to take advantage of the opportunity.
How did you know it was even a sign? Was looking for signs a part of your life, or was that just something that arose in your intuition?
It arose in my intuition. But you know what is funny about that? It arose in my intuition, and I felt it in my gut, and I felt it somewhere in my heart. I didn't really realize at the time that it was my heart that was feeling it, but I just knew it was right. And it's so funny because I looked at my husband and he kind of looked at me. He didn't even know that I applied to go on this, and that it all happened very quickly. And he goes, "I don't know what's happening, but that was kind of an episode of Stranger Things. And I'll have to hear all about it when I get back," because he was running out with the kids. But, you know, I had that same experience that I did on the airplane, which happened to be 4 weeks after I found out I won the trip. But it was an experience where my mind was also saying, at that same time with the chandelier flickering, it was going, "Aaron, do not go on this trip. Something bad's going to happen to you. And this is a sign you shouldn't go." But my gut, my intuition was stronger. And that's why I made the plans to go.
Beautiful. And so a lot of what we talk about on this podcast of, you know, awaken Ananda being your highest potential or the field of all possibilities, is this sort of moment in time where you're at a threshold, and we call it an awakening, which for some people, you know, it's taken years to get to that moment in time, but there's always at least just one moment where something happens and it's almost like time stops and you're in this place of, "I really want to know what's on the other side of this feeling or this moment, because it's so unique and beautiful." And so would you say what happened in that plane was an awakening?
I think so. I really do think so. It was the type of occurrence that was just, I mean, it was physiological, yes. And, you know, one could say that it was, you know, the anxiety that I gave myself leading up to the trip, or that I wasn't hydrated enough, or what have you. But I really feel like it was something larger than that. And then, of course, once I was there on that trip and the things that I was learning about myself through some of these exercises that we were doing, and, you know, the journaling and the self-reflection, a lot of these things that I really had not ever spent time on in the past, or I either didn't have the opportunity to do them, or I didn't seek them out yet. All of those things were really that extra sort of push, or that sort of catapult into the awakening.
Right. I love that. And Aaron, and I assume, or tell us a little bit about how you grew up, and was spirituality a part of your life, and was it something that you had ever considered?
You know, there's a lot of questions there, because when I talk about my background, I think it'll be pretty obvious that I grew up far from spiritual. But my mother was a devout 100% Irish Catholic. And so I grew up in a very Catholic family. I went to Catholic grade school. Sort of the moment that I could choose to not go to Catholic grade school was high school. And I went to a public high school, followed by a private university that I put myself through. I had a very sick dad who was chronically ill my whole life since I was five. So I never really knew a healthy father, nor a healthy home lifestyle. It was, you know, it was quite dysfunctional given my mom raising three kids on a single, you know, income. But what I will say is that I was a really good kid. I was very into academics. I did make friendships fairly easily, even though there were certainly times of, you know, bullying that went on in grade school and things like that, I always seemed to somehow come out on the other side okay. I was shy. I was an introvert, which is kind of funny because Priya, you know me now, and I'm definitely not shy nor an introvert anymore.
Although I could see that in you, Erin. I could definitely see that part of you, especially when you were required to be a caregiver from such a young age.
Right, right. Yeah, I was quite quiet when I was younger. And I really buried myself in books and in learning and in drawing and painting. I gravitated to those kinds of things that I found very fulfilling. Well, on the religious side, the one place that I seemed to act out quite a bit was actually in church. I never really understood Catholicism. There were things that didn't make sense to me, like Jesus, the Son of God, because I never understood how God could be a person. Like I literally just didn't understand it. And it just always seemed so off to me. Like something just seemed not believable. And I, to this day, can't tell you exactly what it is that I didn't believe, but I didn't hold a lot of belief in it. And I had to go to church 3 times a week. It was, you know, Sunday family mass. And then it was class mass. So whatever grade you were in, you went 1 day a week. And then the whole school went 1 day a week. And it felt so forced. And it just felt so wrong, to be honest. So I separated from organized religion pretty much the moment I could at around 17. And then on the spiritual side, I've always been obsessed with the stars and the planets. And I actually started college as an aerospace engineer. I was accepted into a program. I was 1 out of 5 women out of 80 people total in the program.
Wow. Awesome.
Which was a huge accomplishment. And my goal in going into aerospace engineering wasn't necessarily to be an astronaut, although as a little kid, that's what I wanted to be. But, you know, once I entered college, it was really that I wanted to work in mission control at NASA because I wanted to know all the secrets that the government knew about life outside of our world. So I think, you know, it's funny because that's definitely a spiritual thing, but I didn't know that it was. But my interest in that and reading so much about the stars and the planets and our universe was likely because I knew on a deep level that there is so much more out there and, you know, that a lot of it is within me too. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But you didn't do that. You didn't study aerospace engineering. In fact, you're a first generation college student who then decided to go work in New York City at Goldman Sachs.
Right. Yeah.
So how did that happen?
Good question. So what ended up happening is that I realized pretty quickly that I was in aerospace engineering school. I was in the same classes with the same people every day. And somehow, again, being that shy, introverted person that I just talked about, somehow personality-wise, I felt pressure to change or to conform a little bit. And I felt that I needed to be part of like the popular crowd, or I needed to be part of the crowd that was hanging out on the other side of campus that I would pass by when I would go from philosophy class to engineering school. And what best way to do that than to leave the engineering school and go over to the business school? And somehow I made that decision and I went over to the business school and I said, hey, what do you have to do that's pretty challenging that no one really wants to do here? And they said, oh, management information systems, which you may or may not know is basically just computer programming with a business emphasis. So I said, okay, great. Sign me up. I want to switch over. And I did that in the beginning of my second semester freshman year. So that was a shift personality wise or ego wise that I made. And I started to go down that path where I really started to follow conformity. And I started to follow, you know, if this is what people do to then go make money and be in business, this is what I need to do because I've got to take care of myself. And getting to Goldman wasn't something I did on purpose. You know, I definitely wanted to get to New York City. I knew that was like a big goal of mine. I had studied abroad in college. I, you know, again, put myself through school. I borrow $10,000 one year so that I could go to Madrid and do an exchange program over there. And it was the best money I ever borrowed. But then I landed at Reuters in New York, and a couple years in, Goldman was my client and they asked me to work there. And I said, yes. You know, I was very driven by the ability to make a larger income at the time.
Right. And that's something you didn't experience growing up as a kid. And so there was a real desire in you to have monetary abundance.
Definitely. Definitely. It was definitely a big focus for quite some time in my life. Yep.
And during those years, did you forget about the stars and the sky and the life outside of the world?
Oh, yeah.
That we live in? You did. Yeah.
Yeah. I lost track of all of it. And I lost a lot of myself, to be honest. I mean, I really lost a connection to everything, you know, not only to me, but my life became about, you know, working 14 to 16 hours a day at a desk and interacting with other humans. But the interaction was also, it was very surface level, you know, and there was just a lot of sort of toxicity and negativity all around. And then of course it became, which you know very well, Priya, from your past, but it became work hard, play hard. And, you know, if I wasn't working, I was going out to, you know, the newest restaurants and the bars and the clubs and running myself to the ground and then, you know, doing it all over again the next day. So it really became a time of just certainly not caring for myself in a way that was healthy, but also, you know, just sort of perpetuating, you know, a lot of the toxic behaviors that were going on in that finance world and in the corporate world in general, especially at that time. This is sort of, you know, a few years after 9/11 and then of course pre-downturn. So things were different.
Right, right. And it took you a number of years then to recognize that the life you had created was not a life that you loved.
Yes, absolutely. And
that's the moment you sought out this experience in Bali that we talked about earlier.
Yep.
So I want to bring you back to the present. So we've talked about Bali, we've talked a little bit about your past, and now you're in this phase of what I would describe as transition, mm-hmm. of growth, of blossoming. Mm-hmm. And what does life feel like today? How are you integrating your spirituality in your day-to-day life?
Yeah. It is so funny. I mean, my life looks so different than it did a little over a year ago. And just to give you some examples, I mean, I had started meditation about 6 years ago as a means to manage anxiety because I don't really believe in medicine. I mean, there are certain cases where, of course, I would believe in it, but there are many cases like anxiety, I just thought, no, I've got to manage this on my own and I'm going to come up with a technique that's good for me. And after reading books on mindfulness and then going to a meditation course, I started to meditate over the years. But it really did always feel like something that was a bit of a chore. And it felt like something where it was like, you know, I was hard on myself if I didn't feel like I actually turned off my mind for 20 minutes, that kind of a thing. Well, in the last year or so, meditation has become something that is such an integral part of who I am and what I enjoy doing that it literally is like fuel. Like it gives me energy. It doesn't feel like a chore. It doesn't feel like something that I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't do that today and I have to get it done. And if I don't, I'm a terrible person, or I'll just hurry up and get it in. And if it doesn't go well, then I'm going to be hard on myself. But it's more so just about, it is something that I that truly brings me joy and being with myself. I literally didn't used to like being alone. For some reason, I just never liked being alone. Now I love being alone. Like literally, if my husband says like on a Saturday that he's going to take the kids to the donut shop in the park, I am like, oh my gosh, I have an hour to myself. This is the most phenomenal thing ever, you know? And it's not because I'm lazy and I want to sit on the couch and do nothing. It's because I want to enter into stillness and I want to connect with my heart and I want to connect with my higher self and I want that intuition to come through and I want that reflection to be there. And it's just a deep sense of like of trust that I have that I never used to have. And then I would say, you know, some other practices are journaling a lot more often. I'm getting better at doing things like asking myself bigger questions, you know, where it used to be like, oh, I can write out some goals that are pretty, you know, like achievable goals that are maybe more like career oriented, or they're places I want to travel, things like that. Whereas now I can ask myself deeper questions about, you know, the life I'm living and the healing that I'm doing and, you know, what's ahead in that regard. Or I had a situation once where I had a client that, you know, someone stepped in that I didn't know from their side right at the end of a transaction when it was supposed to be signed. And this woman steps in and via email kind of starts firing questions at me in a strange way that was almost attacking me. And I was able to use compassion in that situation. So compassion's become a big part of who I am. And in responding to her, I responded with a very simple few lines that were very compassionate. And within days, she was sending me smiley faces and exclamation points. And so that is a practice, you know, bringing compassion into my life and into relationships with others that I didn't used to have. And I can now say that I'm a very compassionate person.
How did you know to do those things? How did you know that is like that incorporating more compassion was part of your journey?
You know, in that particular instance, I asked my husband to take the kids out because this was like a Friday evening at like 5 o'clock when this went on. And I asked him to take the kids for a little bit because I really needed to focus and I was really upset. And historically, I will tell you, I probably would have been defensive. I probably would have wanted to write something back that would have been somewhat kind, but snarky. And I meditated for about 20 minutes and I asked for guidance in sending this email back to this person. And what came through in my writing was compassion. I asked for the guidance and I got it.
And so it sounds like a fundamental part of how you live life today is to nurture the relationship with your higher self or intuition.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And another big part of my spiritual practice today is nourishing my body and my soul. And so I don't watch the news. I literally don't read the news either. I gave it all up 9 months ago. And I can tell you that I am such a happier person by not bringing that negativity into my life. I never realized how much negativity there was out there in that regard. And I am someone who really would take that on and it would really get to me. So removing that from my life has been huge, has been, you know, in order to allow space for joy in my life and for the things like the, you know, the compassion to come through and the love to come through, I had to get rid of that kind of stuff.
Right.
And another thing is, you know, vibrationally really, really keeping my frequency and my vibration as high as possible. And don't get me wrong, I'm still human. I still have days where I'm just like, I really don't feel good and I feel really down and things like that. But to realize that on those days, I need more self-care. I need more time with myself. I need more stillness. Maybe I need to take a longer shower. Maybe I need to go for a longer walk or do yoga or what have you, or read more.
Or be lazy.
Yeah. Or just do nothing for a little
right.
while.
Which right? I don't think is lazy actually, because I think a lot of us believe that just sitting on the couch isn't a worthwhile practice, but it absolutely is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be constantly doing. I mean, I know you and I talk about this a lot, but so much of the life that I'm living right now with raising young kids and, you know, working, you know, 50 hours a week or so in my real estate business, it is a lot of doing. But the other big difference, the big shift for me has been, I don't complain about it anymore. I used to complain about it. I used to feel like, oh, like this is my life. This is so hard. And, you know, I always have to do this. I always have to do that. And now I just realized it is what it is. And each day is a new day. And it doesn't have to be so difficult or complicated.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, I stopped watching the news over a year ago as well, because I recognized that everything I was watching, I was experiencing.
Right.
And I didn't want to experience it.
Right.
And so I actually pay a lot of attention to any content I consume, whether that's a movie or a book or even a play, right? I want to make sure that whatever I watch, I actually want to experience in my energetic body.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I had my awakening, you know, one of the things I decided to do was, I was a criminal defense lawyer for 18 years. And I decided when I went through my own healing journey that I no longer wanted to be a lawyer. And it was just didn't fit my personality anymore. But you didn't do that. You figured out that you actually enjoyed the work you were doing, but you wanted to do it differently.
Right.
And so talk a little bit about that, because obviously not everyone has to, you know, quit their job and do something totally different in order to integrate spirituality into their day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I definitely have you to thank for a lot of that, I think. So, you know, the clarity that I got after Bali and after certainly our session that we had there, and then a couple of the other ones that we then followed up and, you know, and had sessions via Zoom. But the clarity that came to me was that, and Priya, remind me that some of the words that came up when we had our first session, I think one was like inferiority, right?
Right.
And what did that mean to me? And what it meant at the time and what I felt at the time was that I had a belief, a limiting belief, that I was inferior when I compared myself to other colleagues that were much more successful in the business that I was in. And what was so, the clarity I got that was so profound within a few months of really doing the reflection and thus the healing work that I was doing was that I'm not inferior. In fact, I'm just as capable. I just have to apply my true authentic self to the work that I'm doing. And once I do that, then I will be highly successful in the work that I'm doing. And that is what happened for me. So as you know, I started to put my voice out there more broadly in the workplace by writing and then posting my blog articles on LinkedIn. And I'm someone who spent, you know, the last 10 years that I lived in Chicago, I've spent literally 10 years building a network. And I have a very, very strong network. I have some very close connections with people in all ranks of businesses and, you know, corporations of all sizes, and including the entrepreneurial world and the tech community and you name it. And I'm definitely, you know, a sort of diehard businesswoman. I love doing business because I love working with people. But putting my voice out there on LinkedIn and writing about topics that are really sort of front and center in the workforce today and things that affect people on a daily basis, but no one's really articulating, that was what I needed to do. That was stepping into my power. That was being the authentic me. And when I started to share that, the clarity that came along with how I do business, how I form relationships, and how those relationships turn into, you know, future projects in the real estate business that I'm in, it all just started to sync together. It really was like this, all of a sudden, this sort of unison started to happen in my career where it just really gelled.
And what was your biggest aha in that transition? To recognize that what is my authentic self and how do I show up in the world?
Yeah.
In that skin.
A really big aha, and this is probably a two-part answer, because a really, really big one throughout that process when I first started my voice out there and I was first starting to get feedback that it was really resonating with people. A really big one was that I no longer had to be affected by negative thoughts or feelings about the work that I was doing or the work that I was capable of. because there was something else driving me and there's something else coming through me in that authentic voice that was enough to propel me forward. Whereas prior to doing that and prior to having that realization or that aha, I was very driven on just recognition for the physical work that I was doing in the real estate world. And so if I didn't have many clients at the time, or if I didn't have many meetings with prospects that I believed were going to turn into business, then I was feeling really down on myself. And literally how I felt about me was based on those things at the time. So that was a huge aha moment. And that was a huge, huge propeller for me to continue to do the work and put my authentic self out there. And another thing, the second part of that is I would say on a personal level, I really started to notice that just the way that I was treating myself on a daily basis was really starting to change. So I was obviously starting to spend more time with myself, and I was starting to be, to live a more healthy life. Like I was, for example, I was not wanting to go out for drinks as often as I used to, because I used to look at even something like that, where I'm going to take people out for cocktails and I could do business with these people. So this is something that I have to do. And therefore, even if it means I'm going to be tired the next day, or I don't really feel like drinking, I'm going to do it. So I was starting to really put myself first personally. And I saw good changes in my home relationships and my relationship with my husband. And ultimately that relationship to me really changed.
Thank you for sharing that. And yeah. So how do you see yourself? What does the next year look like for Erin?
Oh, that's a great question. So it looks like my real estate business continues to thrive. And I mean, just some of the sheer relationships I have that have come into my life in the last year in the real estate community and the work that I'm doing and the clients that I have. I mean, I'm so grateful. It is literally so much fun working with these people every day and doing the work that I do with them. And it's an abundant role for me, so it feels very good. And I'm so happy to take care of their businesses in the way that I do. I think on a personal level, I plan to do another retreat or two. I plan to continue to write and then also to do more public speaking at companies as well. So that's been a big change for me, has been that my writing has led to being asked to speak to companies about a lot of these self-awareness and growth and personal transformation type of topics. So I plan to do a lot more of that as well. I mean, that's really where I see myself growing and thriving in life. And I really enjoy the business world and I really enjoy doing real estate. So I think that they can both exist. I can speak to companies about these things that are truly authentic to me, and they're my purpose on life, to inspire employees at these companies. And I can continue to write because it is very cathartic for me. And I do have a lot that I want to say. And so putting it out there, to more than five people at a time makes a lot of sense for me. So I continue to see that growing as well. And then on the personal level, definitely some more retreats and, continuing to thrive in my spiritual practice and get deeper and deeper with that. Continue to live a loving life and a compassionate life, and to learn even more about myself so that I can do, even more of that within my own family. I see a lot of those things happening. So yeah. And then of course, who knows what else will come at me, but to be able to handle anything that comes my way with grace is really a big goal of mine. So that's a big shift for me as well.
That sounds like an incredible future. But last question for you around this topic. Yeah. How do you find the time for all that?
This is one of my favorite topics, Priya. How to fix our relationship with time.
I know.
So it's not about finding time. It's about changing our perception of time. And what I mean by that is that I have to create space in my life for the things that are my priorities. And my priorities are not the same every single day. They change. And that's hard, right? Because I think a lot of times as humans, we are so, we're so focused on routine and just sort of, you know, checking the box and getting this done, then getting that done, then getting, you know, here and taking our kid there, all that kind of stuff, which a lot of it has to be done. But if you can actually take a step back and realize that your priorities can shift moment to moment. And at one moment of the day, it might be getting through your email, but at another moment of the day, it might be spending a solid hour and a half with your kids. And then 3 hours later, it might be doing a yoga class and then cooking dinner. Like it shifts all the time, and be graceful with that. Just let it happen. Don't be hard on yourself. Like that is a big, big thing for me that I've really adapted and I've really taken on, is that I can't conquer the world. I can't do everything and do everything well. But if I just let my life sort of ebb and flow around the things that I really think are important at any given time, that's perfectly acceptable.
I love that.
And I'm not, like, I live a life of integrity and of honesty, and I'm not doing anything to harm anybody else. I'm just choosing what is a priority for me at each given moment.
I love that. And then you make sure not to beat yourself up if you don't get your priority completed the way you need or want.
That's such a great point. That's such a huge part of it.
Beautiful. So I ask 4 questions to every guest. And so I'm going to just read you the beginning of the sentence, and I'd love for you to finish it in your words right before we wrap up our beautiful interview today. You ready?
Yes.
The world needs...
The world needs more empathy and more compassion.
I believe in
a very vast universe and the fact that everyone's energy is actually connected.
Love is
magic.
I'm grateful
every day for being alive.
Awesome. Beautiful, beautiful. So lovely to talk with you today, Erin. Thank you so much for bringing your full, authentic self to the listeners. And I am just so honored to be on the path with you. And it's been such a joy and delight to watch you from the moment we met in Bali until today. And I know that we're soul sisters from who knows how many lifetimes. And I'm just really, really excited and grateful to have you on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much, Priya. This has been so much fun. And I really appreciate you, you know, being my soul sister and a spiritual teacher for me. So thank
Absolutely. You. Absolutely. And Erin, one last question. If people wanted to find out more about you or read some of your amazing blog posts, how would they do that?
Sure. So look me up on LinkedIn, Erin Coupe, C-O-U-P-E, just like the car. I do own erincoupe.com, and it's being built out as we speak. So that'll be live in the next couple of months. And other than that, it's erincoupe81 on Instagram.
Great. Thank you, Erin, so much. And it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thanks so much, Priya. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. And thank you, listeners. We're hopeful you had an amazing time listening to Erin. We hope with this podcast that you awaken your inner guru and reach your highest potential. Until next time.
The ideas expressed by guests of Awaken Ananda do not necessarily reflect Priya's personal beliefs. Information received from the Awaken Ananda podcast should not be used as a substitute for medical or psychological advice. If you're interested in working with Priya, sign up for a transformational coaching or intuitive healing session at awakenananda.com. Listen to more episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms, and be sure to visit Priya and the Lighter Side Network at thelightersidenetwork.com. The Lighter Side Network, where the everyday meets the extraordinary.